Chapter 14. A Statement by Count Isidore Fosco of St. John's Wood. I was asked to come to England in the summer of 1850 as part of a political project, which I am not able to talk about in detail. I was told to work with some other people, including Mr. and Mrs. Rubel. During the first few weeks in England, my wife and I stayed at the home of my friend, Sir Percival Glyde. Our friendship deepened at that time because both of us badly needed money, and we saw one way to get it, through his wife's inheritance. However, Percival was not expected to get a penny of his wife's money until she died. I also knew that he had other serious problems. I only knew that a woman called Anne Catherick was hidden near his house, and that she was coming to the gardens of the house and communicating with Lady Glyde. He was worried that Anne Catherick was going to tell his wife a secret that would ruin him if it was found out. He said he was desperate to find Anne Catherick and prevent her from sharing that information. I tried to find Anne Catherick. Of course, if Sir Percival Glyde was ruined by Anne and the secret, then I would not get any money myself. I believed that Anne would return to the boathouse at Blackwater Park, and so I waited there for hours and hours. At last someone came, but it was Mrs. Clements, not Anne. She told me that Anne was ill. I explained that I knew about medicine, so she took me to see her friend. When I saw Anne Catherick, I was shocked by how similar she was to Lady Glyde. It was this, and finding out that Anne had escaped from an asylum, that first put an idea in my mind. What if Lady Glyde and Anne Catherick changed names and places with each other? Might that be a way of getting the £10,000 and of keeping Sir Percival Glyde's secret safe? I must state here that although I am not officially a doctor, I know a lot about medicines and treating people. I saw that Anne was very ill, so I made some medicine that would help her. I told Mrs. Clements to give Anne the medicine and then take her to London 3 days later. I said that I would ask Lady Glyde to go to London and meet them there. My dear wife, Madame Fosco, went on the same train and followed Anne Catherick and Mrs. Clements through London. She found out where they were staying. During this time, I did, of course, secretly read all of the letters that Miss Halcombe sent to her solicitor. As a result, I knew that there were plans for Miss Halcombe and Lady Glyde to go to Limeridge for a while. I rented a house in London, in St. John's Wood, so that I could invite Lady Glyde to stay there on the long journey to Limeridge. When I returned to Blackwater Park, I found that Miss Halcombe had become seriously unwell. I argued with Dr. Dawson about her care and made him angry. I did this because I wanted him gone. I did not want him to witness what might happen next at Blackwater Park. Sir Percival Glyde told Dr. Dawson that he was unhappy with how he had spoken to me, and he sent Dr. Dawson away. Sir Percival sent away most of the servants. Then the housekeeper, Mrs. Mickelson, was sent to Torquay for a few days. So now there was no one left at Blackwater Park but Miss Halcombe, who was now slowly getting better, and Mrs. Rubel, who was nursing Miss Halcombe. Next, I needed Lady Glyde to travel to London without Miss Halcombe. I knew that she would only ever do this if she thought that Miss Halcombe had already left and travelled to Limeridge. So I asked Mrs. Rubel and Madame Fosco to help me move Miss Halcombe to an unused part of the house. We moved her bed while she was asleep one night and hid her away. The next day, my wife and I left for London to prepare the house in St. John's Wood. I also wrote a letter to the owner of the asylum to tell him that we had found his patient and would soon return her. The next thing I needed to do was to get Anne Catherick and bring her to our house in St. John's Wood. Dates are important here, so I shall state them. On Wednesday, the 24th of July, I sent my wife, in a carriage, to Mrs. Clement's house to fetch her and take her out of the house with some small excuse. My wife then left Mrs. Clement's and quickly returned to our house in St. John's Wood. There, she told the servants to prepare to welcome our new guest, Lady Glyde. At the same time, I had gone in another carriage with Anne Catherick, who I had invited to join Mrs. Clements and spend the day with Lady Glyde. But when we arrived at my house, of course, neither Mrs. Clements or Lady Glyde were there, and she became very upset and anxious. She suddenly fainted and became extremely ill. The nearest doctor was sent for, and he was told that Lady Glyde was very confused and unwell. Luckily, Anne was too ill to cause any problems by speaking. However, I was now very worried that the false Lady Glyde might die before the real Lady Glyde had even left Blackwater Park. Anne was very ill that Wednesday night, but seemed to be a little better the next day, Thursday the 25th. I went out to make all the arrangements to prepare to send Lady Glyde to the asylum as though she were Anne Catherick. But when I arrived back at the house at 5 p.m. the same day, Anne Catherick was dead. Dead on the 25th. And Lady Glyde would not arrive in London until the 26th. Worse than that, by the time I had arrived back at the house, the doctor had already written the official death certificate with the date of the 25th on it. On Friday the 26th, Lady Glyde travelled to London and I went to meet her at the station. Hidden under the seat of the carriage, I took with me the clothes Anne Catherick had been wearing when she arrived at my house. After I fetched Lady Glyde from the station, I gave her some medicine in a glass of water to calm her. It put her into a very deep sleep. I took her to Mrs. Rubel's house, where we dressed her in Anne Catherick's clothes. I gave her a little more of the special medicine in the morning, and then took Anne Catherick, half asleep and confused, to the asylum. The owner was surprised to see her, but took her in without any suspicion. After that, I immediately returned home to St. John's Wood, taking all of Lady Glyde's suitcases with me to be with the dead body of Lady Glyde. I then went with the body and suitcases to Limeridge, where I attended the funeral. Am I guilty of a terrible crime? I believe that I am not. I have been very generous and careful. I could have, if I had wished to, taken Lady Glyde's life. And I could have taken Anne Catherick's, but I did not. Instead, with huge efforts on my part, I only took Lady Glyde's identity. I have now laid my part of the story before you, and I will end my statement here. Signed, Count Isidore Ottavio Baldassare Fosco.